This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball Spo in the building. Let's just jump right into it. What did you think yesterday of the stuff that Jeff Bagwell had to say?
I actually came off, and we talked about him, I think it was last week or the week before, just the way that he sees the game. It's not necessarily the way that I would see it, but in listening him to talk yesterday, he's a little more aligned with how I see things than I thought. And you read the story that ESPN had about him criticizing.
He got you with the pitching comment, didn't he? He got you with the pitching comment, didn't he?
That's what I
Because he's right. And, you know, the ESPN story said that he was criticizing the way the Astros develop players. And in essence, I think he was, but he was only criticizing one aspect of it, and that's the hitting side. Mm-hmm. And that's a common theme that you hear from a lot of former players, is that hitters are being developed incorrectly. Dusty Baker has said the same thing, that he doesn't like the way that hitters are being developed. They're just giving them too much information at this point. And I think you can do that at the big league level, but when you're doing it at the minor league level, these guys just they aren't ready to process all the information that you're giving them, so they don't really know what's important, what's not. And while they're trying to process all this information, just their approach at the plate is bad. And I think that's a big reason why you see so many strikeouts right now. So Jeff Bagwell said yesterday, I believe when it comes to pitching, mm-hmm. I believe in analytics. I believe that it's helped. You just look at how the Astros have been able to identify, find, develop pitchers. And then when they get them, when they get big leaguers, they're able to get big leaguers better once they arrive with the Astros. So he's a big believer with that, not so much with the hitting side. And I don't necessarily disagree with that a mm-hmm. lot. So I don't know Jeff Bagwell. I really have never spoken to him. I think you covered him, so you know him. You know him.
I know him very well.
He's a smart guy.
Captivating.
Yeah. He talked for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And
he said a lot.
He was incredibly engaging.
Did he not sound like he was the guy in charge?
He spoke as a GM.
Yeah.
And I came off just impressed by him, what he had to say. I don't necessarily agree with some of the decisions that they're making right now, but mm-hmm. that's okay. But at least they have a process right now.
What decisions?
Montero was an overpay.
Okay,
And I think Abreu was a bit of an overpay as well.
Oh, come on.
Listen, on one hand, you are overpaying for a first baseman who will be 36 when spring training starts and mm-hmm. who the numbers say is declining a little bit. It's not a premium position, so there are other ways that you can fill that spot. But on the other hand, this team is so good, they really have no other holes. So if you're going to overpay, then go ahead and overpay. It's going to give you a better chance to win the World Series next year. So
you're talking about Abreu.
Yes.
Yes.
So if you want to if Jim Crane wants to go out and spend all the money, then go ahead and do it.
But they have it because they're not going to have Verlander. And so that's what
or Brantley.
Or Brantley.
That's a sunk cost.
So it actually makes me feel a little more positive about some of those decisions, and I think you talk about win now mode.
That's what this is.
They are in absolute win now mode.
You look at the two contracts.
Yeah.
With Montero and Abreu, they're 3-year contracts, and it kind of lines up right when Framber Valdez and Luis Garcia and Jose Urquidy and Christian Javier, Kyle Tucker, once all those guys are kind of due to hit free agency. So when their salaries would take a big jump, assuming they remain in the organization. Now the two questions that they have. Jose Altuve has 2 years left on his contract. Mm-hmm. Alex Bregman has 2 years left on his contract. Where do those two guys fit moving forward?
Do you think this is, because I think there's been examples, and it's a much more extreme example, but just hear me out on this. I believe that Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby didn't really respect what went into being a general manager. I don't think they respected it. I think they thought it was simple. I think I heard Seth talking about this earlier this morning. Do you think that's the same case with Jeff Bagwell, or you think this is just where he wants to kind of give his feedback? And like, they're not going to completely wipe away the tasks, the important tasks that you always talk about that go into being a general manager.
I think he wants to give feedback. And it's interesting because I was thinking about this too. When it came to O'Brien and Easterby, they were trying to consolidate power to advance themselves.
Correct.
They were doing this it to true. Advance themselves. Bagwell cares about the organization.
Yeah.
Bagwell's
man,
doing
that's
it.
A great point.
That's excellent.
Can you say that again
so we can get it clean? No, I'm just kidding.
Bagwell, he doesn't want to be the GM. And when he says that, I think that's accurate. I think that's true. He doesn't want to be the GM, but he cares about the organization, and he wants to see the organization thrive. And I think he believes that with his input, they are best in that he can get them in that direction and keep them in that direction.
And he's got a resume. He's got the knowledge. This isn't like, like an Easter beat. No, are you kidding me?
But there are plenty of players who have the resumes, and they are given those jobs.
But
and
also
they
the knowledge.
Flop.
And he's put in the work. He said he also said you were there. You know, he's made himself watch more of these guys individually. Made himself more watch more of the games. And the nuance, and I know that word is thrown around a lot because people like sound smart. Yeah, like I said, people like to sound smart. But it's legitimate in this one. There's a lot of nuance to what he is doing as a de facto GM.
I think having him do TV the last couple of years, and he's done radio as well, I think that's helped him a lot. I do think that's kept him around the team a little bit more, and he was around really throughout the entire postseason. When you look at Biggio and Bagwell, Biggio's been the one who's been much more visible around the team. He's almost there maybe every single day, and he's in the clubhouse a lot. You don't necessarily see Bagwell as much, but obviously he's talking to Jim Crane, and he has been in Jim Crane's ear quite a bit over the last year, and you can tell that he understands, you know, the game. He understands the direction that it's going, and I think he understands the type of player that he wants. You know, he has a player that he wants, and I think he probably sees a lot of Jose Abreu in himself.
What's the dangers of, like, going down this direction? Like, where could it potentially be bad? Because I was talking with the OG about it, and I was like, clearly Jeff Bagwell has power. Like, what he says matters. Like, I'm not saying that it's the end-all be-all, but clearly what he says matters. Where could that be a problem? I said, like, if 4 years ago, let's say the Astros needed, were a whatever position away, old school Bagwell guys a lot of times seem like they can be the guys that'll be like, we don't need this Kyle Tucker guy. He's not helping us right now. We need guys who can help us right now. We don't need this Framber Valdez, low A type of guy. He's not going to be making decisions like that, is he?
I wouldn't think so, but it's just a matter of, are they going to listen to all the R&D guys, all the research and develop guys? Development guys? Are they going to hire those types of people? Are they going to put them in positions of power and really elevate their voices so that you're, because one thing that made the Astros, one reason why the Astros are in this position to begin with is because they were ahead of the entire game on a lot of different things. So the league catches up to you at some point, but are you still advancing everything forward to where you are trying to remain ahead? Because you look at like Oakland with the Billy Bean stuff and the Moneyball, they were ahead of the entire league on that. The league caught up, and it took a while for the A's to adjust and find some other edge. So the whole thing is about finding edges. You don't want to be doing the exact same things that everybody else is doing, because when you're doing that, you're just falling behind.
I could be dead wrong on this, and you'll call me out on it.
Yeah,
I just can't see another organization that has a better relationship with Latin America and a better, you know, developmental program, if you will.
Braves.
With Latin America, maybe.
I mean, a lot are doing it. Yeah, they all do.
But the Astros, the success rate that they hit on and their relationship with Cuba in particular, it just seems to be next level. So I think that's kind of one of those things where Bagwell and or Ausmus, and we'll get to that if he comes in, y'all go do that. Just let us know what you think. Well, you know, they'll make the ultimate decision, but let them do the work.
The Latin, you know, Venezuela was a big hotbed for them.
At first,
But the whole league caught up to that.
Yeah.
And now you look, basically, I think, as far as I know, every team has an academy in the Dominican at this point. They don't really in Venezuela just because of the political climate there. It's changed, and you know, it's not quite what it was. But everyone's got an academy in the Dominican. Everyone has, you know, ties to the Dominican. You know, you have some teams that are out. They have people in Asia and Australia, and they're looking for players that way. But what the Astros have done really well with it's not necessarily signing the big ticket guys out of Latin America.
Exactly.
It's signing the older guys out of Latin America. Guys. It's the Framber Valdez signing when he's older. It's Jose Urquidy signing when he's older out of Mexico. Same thing with Christian Javier. These weren't the 16-year-olds that you're reading about in Baseball America who are getting $5 million to sign. No, these are guys who are getting, you know, five-figure contracts. That's where their edge has been, and that they've been able to identify and develop those guys. And again, you know, Jeff Bagwell said,
and he'll let him do that. Let him go.
Yeah, he's going to, it seems like he's just going to leave the pitching alone, and they're going to develop, they're going to keep developing pitchers the way that they have. I think the big change might be with how they develop hitters at this point.
Adam Spillane with us here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Let's switch gears. You threw this out over the weekend. It generated a lot of conversation. A hypothetical. We all hope the Texans get a quarterback sometime. Bryce Young seems to be a name that a lot of people are intrigued by. You threw out the possibility of maybe Bryce Young not necessarily ending up a Houston Texan.
I mean, it's happened before where a player either goes back to school or he just says, don't draft me because I'm not going there. Mm-hmm. It happened with John Elway. John Elway told the Colts, don't draft me. I'm not going to sign there. I'll go play baseball. And he held true, and they wound up trading him to Denver. Eli Manning told the Chargers, don't draft me. Yeah. If you draft me, you better trade me. And they traded him. And then you even go to Peyton. Peyton Manning, he didn't say this, but Peyton Manning could have gone to the Jets. He would have gone number one to the Jets in 97. And he decided to go back to Tennessee for another year. So if your organization is a complete dumpster.
And that was pre-NIL.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, like, that was very, like, well, big time, though. But, like, I mean, the dude's on Dr. Pepper commercials.
Yeah.
In Alabama uniform.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he's going to do this. And my guess is that he would go number one and he would be drafted by the Texans and he would sign with a big smile on his face.
Yeah.
But if your organization is as bad as it appears from the outside, and that's what the entire talk is around the NFL. You know, if you're drafted number one, the key to your future earnings is going to an organization that actually knows what it's doing, and it's going to put you in a position to succeed. Because it's not about the first contract. Everybody talks about the $40 million guarantee that you get at number one. It's not about that. It's about the second contract and the third contract and the fourth contract after that. Because somebody like Aaron Rodgers goes 24th to the Packers in 2004, 2005, whenever it was, and he signed. There was talk that he was going to go number one. Alex Smith went number one, and his career toiled for a long time.
Yeah.
Rodgers goes 24. He signs a five-year deal for $7
million. Those contracts are a little different then. Yeah. A little different then.
He signed 5 years for $7 million, and he's going to wind up, whenever his career ends, he's going to wind up making more than
$180, I don't know what it is.
$400 million is what he's going to wind up making because he went to a good situation where he was able to thrive and improve and get better. So much of what your career looks like is where you get drafted to. And if you're a player and if you're an agent and you see what's going on here and it looks as bad as it appears, you don't want your client to go to that type of a team.
That was my concern with the Easterby. Like, if Easterby were still here, I was concerned. I do think C.J. Stroud might be that. I mean, I don't know what Mulugeta and them are like with Caserio, because Mulugeta is going to have C.J. Stroud. He's going to have Bijan Robinson. I don't know what it's going to be like. I think they have a decent relationship, but I did wonder like what the element would have been, especially if Easterby were still here. I think it's an excellent point. I mean, how much do you think he's making in Alabama?
It's seven figures.
I think I saw it was like between 3 and 5.
Yeah.
And
next year, if he goes back,
but he could also just say, "You can draft me. Go ahead and draft me. I'm not signing."
Yeah.
So there's always that option too. Now, if the that might not be a bad thing for the Texans, but again, this is when your organization, and I know the number one team, the team that picks number one, the team is always bad, but it feels different here. And maybe it's because we're too close to it and we know it a little too well, but this is what happens when your organization is bad. And it just seems like everything that has come out of the Texans in the last 4 years has been negative.
But and here's the counterpoint, and I've mentioned this. You do cut bait with Lovie Smith. Nick Caserio, even though he's shown a few signs of being a little bit prone to his own dysfunction, is relatively normal, has a great resume, comes from a great program, grew up in football, et cetera, et cetera. If you do change Lovie Smith, offensive staff, defensive staff, everything, all of a sudden this is a very attractive job.
I would think.
Yeah.
But the last two coaching searches have not exactly gone great, where you wind up with David Culley a couple years ago. And then at some point, we got to talk about the Lovie search, because they interviewed multiple people twice for the job. And then all of a sudden they decide, hey, you know what? We're going to interview Lovie Smith and then we're going to hire Lovie Smith. So the whole process with how that hire went down last winter was very strange, and it continues to look worse.
But I think it looks good. I'm fine with Lovie for this year. For this right, year, yeah, I'm yeah, fine with it. Yeah. Like, but next year it would look weird. And I wonder if he's handcuffed. That's my concern is Nick Caserio handcuffed? The last 2 years, you had the Deshaun Watson lawsuit. You didn't have first or second round pick 2 years ago. You got all this dead cap now. You don't have that this year. So I wonder, like, I hope they're not handcuffed in this search. I'm fine with Lovie for then. I also think Nick Caserio needs to be proactively evaluated. And you got to figure out, is he like Lovie Smith? Is he the Sashi Brown? The Cleveland Browns had Sashi Brown, GM, 2 years. Bye-bye. John Dorsey, come here, 3 years. John Dorsey, you kind of balance out the old school meathead with the analytics. Boom. And then you hire Andrew Berry and you bring in Deshaun Watson, mm-hmm, win your first playoff game in like 2 decades.
Yeah, to me, it kind of feels like Caserio might have a little too much power. And maybe you bring in somebody else just to kind of counterbalance that a little bit. I don't know if that would actually work.
See, but he's bringing him in.
Yeah.
He's not going to bring in a head coach that is going to have a big say in personnel.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that tends to be the problem.
Like anytime somebody says Sean Payton, I'm like, Sean Payton?
Payton's not coming here.
Sean
Payton's going to where he's going to have full control.
Yes, exactly.
Which, by the way, is never good with a coach. You don't want your coach to have full control.
No, but some control. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing.
Nick Caserio. Man. Approval rating went down with me, Spo, last week. Last week was a tough week for me.
You didn't enjoy the 3 minute answer on Davis Mills?
I was fine on that. I'd actually understood that.
It's a long answer.
I wasn't crazy about that one myself.
Some other things, you know. The way stuff went down on Wednesday was a clown show. Lovie Smith has made, I mean, he's
not, doesn't look great, especially for a guy who's been a head coach in the NFL and in college for as long as he is.
And he knew what his role was going to be here.
And he knew the questions were coming. And sometimes you just got to bear through it and smile and answer it the best that you can. And, yeah, you're going to get annoyed by these people a lot of times, but just deal with it.
That's what the fans want to know, man.
Yeah.
They're asking questions for the fans. They're not asking questions to make you comfortable, sir.
That's a great way to put it.
You and your 5 winning seasons in 17.
And by the way, Nick Sarah brought him in to be the punching bag.
That's like, what an NFL head coach is.
He brought him in to be the voice. I don't know about the punch bag, the voice.
Well, if it came to this, and it did, the punching bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what else were you going to do?
Exactly.
Let's go talk to your agent. How many offers did you hire him?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
How many interviews did he get? How many interviews did he have after Illinois to be a head coach?
I don't know. I heard that was an Easterby thing, though. Lovie did have a little more Easterby, but who knows? I don't know. He's here. It is what it is. Spo, appreciate you. Happy that you and Jeff Bagwell vibe as much as
I would love to just like talk to Jeff Bagwell about baseball for an hour.
You would love it.
I think it would be a lot of fun.
You would love it.
That was a humble brag. That wasn't like
I know it was.
Yeah, he was just humble bragging. Yeah, you'd love it.
I believe the words I said were you would love it.
Yeah, but you're just basically just saying, yeah, I've done it.
No, based on experience.
That's you saying that.
No, but that's what you're saying.
We know the joke.
I said you would love it.
No, that's a brag. Just admit it. It's cool. It's cool.
Lasagna, talk to Jeff Bagwell. You would love it.
That's not even the same. It's okay to brag, John. You've got your experience. I'm just making it clear as a brag. It wasn't like I wasn't bragging.
I just said you would love it.
Yeah, but you were just saying, yeah, I've been there. Trust me.
You guys need to bump McClain. Next week, you need to bump McClain and get Bagwell in here.
That would be sweet. That would be very sweet.
Would you rather have Bagwell than McClain?
Give him a call, 100%.
Okay, there we go. Baseball Spo, appreciate you.
See y'all next week.
There you go. Right. Deshaun Watson, by the way, if you're just tuning in, not going to meet with the media, but have no fear. In the Loop Roleplay is here. John Lopez is going to put on his journalist hat.
Oh, God.
He's going to ask the questions that need to be asked, and I am going to represent Deshaun Watson, and I'm going to answer the questions the way Deshaun should answer them. Little dangerous roleplay coming up.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.